I think they like you, Steve.
Hello, hi, welcome to Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 720 WGN, it's Steve Cochran Show here on Tuesday, December 11th, show number 1277. The gang's all here, back together again. Mary Vandeveld back in the building. Excited to have her. The exciting news about her new granddaughter.
Yeah, so I got to babysit for my other granddaughter, so that was a lot of fun this weekend.
There you go. Dave Bennett's here, Mary Sandberg, Grzanich, Steve Grzanich, Super Chill, Pete, Steve Cochran.
And we're all in good moods today. And
everyone's in a good mood because it's holiday day
us
here at the show.
Yeah.
We have our Secret Santa coming up and, probably more important, the holiday luncheon,
which
I believe is on the station.
Well,
right?
Have fun with that.
You're not going to be there?
No, I'm not going to be there because you scheduled it on a day that I'm gone.
Can you hear that, Mary? Do you hear the
22 years at the station?
Do you hear that?
Dave, you're here now. What's going on?
Dave, I have checked out.
He leaves right after the show, Mayor.
Oh.
I have checked out on post-show meetings that have just become about your schedule. They've all become about, after 5 minutes, it becomes, well, I can't do Tuesday, I can do Friday. I'm going to be
No. I was never asked about the holiday lunch.
I don't know about that.
I was never asked. I was told that it was today.
I would say Steve gave two days that worked.
Right.
And there was, you could not make this date, Dave, and then there were two people that couldn't make the other date. And then he chose this.
I want to make it clear. I love this
show. 2 days that work.
I love this show.
The whole month of December.
Only two Tuesdays is what he
decided. I love the show and I love the people on it. I just keep my schedule free, Dave. You know, I don't try to.
There's so many people involved. How are we going to get everybody to?
We've always done it, Mayor.
I know. We actually
have. Always been a lot of people on this show.
Yeah.
I just follow orders, bud. Tell me where to be.
Well, you guys have a nice lunch.
Dave has seniority too.
And
I know.
Yeah. I didn't get anywhere.
What kind of lunch is a luncheon without Dave in it?
Right.
You know, I mean, he's the king of the luncheon. Think of all the Big Ten luncheons and the luncheons
he hosts luncheons.
He decides what we're going to drink at the luncheon.
Yeah.
Maybe we can DoorDash something over to you or maybe something over to you.
No. You guys have fun.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Don't worry about it.
I sent something.
All morning it's going to be like this.
Oh, yeah. I've been saving this up, buddy.
He's been bottling it up. Yeah, because last week, we did suggest a date, but Steve felt that was too early in the month for our holiday celebration.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Okay, I'm not. I've said my piece.
It has to be this week, though. It has to be this week because you're gone
Joe and Pete are off next week. Yeah.
Why don't we cancel the lunch and just have food delivered into the show this morning and have our thing here this morning?
No, it's already been planned. Because it's a luncheon. It's a holiday luncheon. You don't order food.
I'm just thinking
of sitting around the desk and like, we need
it. This is not a democracy. Okay. It is a dictatorship. Steve has decided what day our holiday lunch is, and that's where we're at.
Cochran.
You're all going to eat what's in front of you, or you're going to sit in the car?
Do we have to scrape our plates?
Yeah. You know, there's other shows on other sides of the world that don't have exact kind of opportunities. Yeah.
Dave's angry.
I'm not angry. No, I'm not angry.
Oh, passive aggressive. Sorry.
No.
But here's the thing. I don't know, and I know you guys are just talking, but I don't understand. You're here, but you can't be there?
No, because I'm getting on a plane.
A jet plane.
Oh, we talked about this, didn't we? How you tried to schedule it earlier.
We don't know when he'll be back again.
You going to see your dad?
I'm going to see my dad.
That's weird, because your dad's going to be at the lunch. we'll come back to the top six at six, but I got to tell you about this. It's a Wonderful Life holiday radio play. It's Friday, 10 a.m. to noon. It's the annual presentation of It's a Wonderful Life, and you've heard the story, but not like it's done this year. Rewritten by Bill Left. He's going to get sued over this.
Did you get any notice yesterday?
Did you get any
more information about your character and who you are and what you're doing after we complained about it on the air yesterday?
Yeah.
Did they tell you?
No. No, I don't know. I don't know. Isn't there a read-through to, or run-through tomorrow?
There's a table read from 1 to 3.
I know.
That's the thing I'm not going to be at?
Yeah, I'm sitting in for you.
Did you guys get parts?
No.
That's what we're trying to figure out. I don't think anybody on the morning show got a part.
No, Steve Cochran did.
Your new grandchild. Your new grandchild got a part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'll be...
Which is fabulous.
Miles got a part.
Miles should get a part.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I got one. I turned it down.
Right, because you're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you bringing your flask on the road?
My Santa flask?
Yeah.
Got me? No.
Yeah.
I don't think that would get through TSA.
It's Wonderful Life, sponsored by American Sale and by Shepherd's College. Just ahead of the top six, Vince is on the phone. Good morning, Vince. Hello, Vince.
Do we have both phone banks on?
No, we're about to.
Okay.
Once more for good times. Vince, are you with me?
Just so you know, Steve, I refuse to be in a bad mood today because I curled my hair.
You look fabulous.
Oh, well, I wasn't looking for a compliment.
Well,
I'm
sorry, you're
going to
get one anyway.
I'm not going to allow anyone else to be in a bad mood today.
Looks like it's working.
Hi, Vince. Hi, Vince. Hi, Vince. Hi, Vince.
Is he collecting a debt from you?
I don't know. Vince wants to take Dave out for a kale salad.
Oh.
Hey, thanks, Vince.
Yeah. There you go. They can do it. Yeah, he returns next week, Vince.
So, be great if we could talk to Vince.
Vince, we'll talk later.
This studio is fabulous, but it's got some ghosts in the machine, I'll tell you that. At 6:18, top 6 at 6 coming up. Stand by for that, and I'll tell you what else is coming up on the show when we come back.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, item number one, trouble at City Hall. City Treasurer Kurt Summers is outgoing City Treasurer Kurt Summers has blasted Mayor Rahm Emanuel on city schools and Laquan McDonald case. I thought they were tight.
They were tight, but you know...
What happened there?
Well, Emanuel said this on our show, too. He kind of intimated this idea that some of the violence was systemic of fathers and people not taking responsibility for their communities. And mm-hmm. Kurt Summers, an African American, tweeted out after he said something on Twitter and essentially called him out for saying that. And that's where this all comes
from. Where is that wrong, though? Just in context?
I think he's saying I like what Kurt said.
Did Kurt take it the wrong way?
No, Kurt said, listen, for all the things that have been piled on African-American communities, this is what you take on. So I could get he's much more eloquent and articulate in what
he... Yeah, see if you can pull the quote. I'd like to see it.
By the end of Top 6 at 6, it's here. I got it.
Trump item number two. The Trump administration expected to unveil a plan today that would essentially weaken and in some cases wipe out clean water bills. Thank God. Thank God we're finally getting rid of clean water in this country. Thank you, Mr. President. Next. Google revealing a new security bug affecting more than 52 million users. This is interesting to me because Google literally has a user base. I believe the last time I saw this was 2 billion people. So 2 billion people. How come only 52 million?
I
mean, there's one way to get on Google. You Google. So why isn't everybody having this problem? This is part of the technical world.
I think they're boasting that it's a small, at us. We didn't have a full problem, just a little tiny
52 million,
one.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
Is there a tech wink in there? Like, it's just 52 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Next. Lindsey Buckingham settled a suit with Fleetwood Mac, says the bandmates are dishonoring their legacy, but they'll both move on. He is saying that Stevie Nicks... and this is interesting to me because these guys are all like 70 years old. So Stevie Nicks went to Mick Fleetwood and the rest of the band and said, pick me or him,
ooh.
Lindsey or Stevie.
Is this
and they were a couple for a long time.
Is it boiling up over years and years of frustration, or is this sort of new?
They've been like in and out of, they've been fighting forever. Lindsey Buckingham was gone for a long time, and he was back. And
they were all married to each other.
Well, who's the better one? Who is the better one?
Stevie Nicks is more important to the band.
See? Oh, well, then. Sure.
You're not going to a Fleetwood Mac concert without her being there, right?
Tell you a quick story, and I've told this on the air before, but it mocks me, so I know the rest of you will enjoy it. So a friend of mine is a very big deal in show business, and he had a backstage thing with Fleetwood Mac he had to do. So he's in town visiting, wants me to go to the Fleetwood Mac show with him. And I've been to a lot of concerts. Okay. It's just not as much fun as it used to be because, you know, I'm cranky. And it's not, it's at night. I don't know if you know that about concerts. Your concerts are rarely at 2 in the afternoon.
There's no 2 in the afternoon concert.
So I put on that sunshiny, bright face I'm known for, and we go out to the Allstate Arena, which, in case you missed it, Dave, you may know this.
Yes.
Impossible to get to in traffic.
Oh.
And the concert was just beyond rush hour. So that was a good time. So we get there, and I'm loving life, and we walk in, and I never looked at the seats. I mean, there's a plaque, or almost like a sign, like a clock I'm wearing around my neck that we're, you know, I'm not paying attention to. We walk in, we're walking. If you've ever been to a concert at the Allstate Arena, it's not festival seating, but it has that sort of feel on the floor. Right to the front row.
Yeah.
Right to the front
row. That's the only way you roll.
The absolute front row. In my lifetime, I've never sat that close to a stage. And by the way, we didn't sit because everyone in the front row, and it's Fleetwood Mac, so it was babies to dead. Everyone from Fleetwood Mac could sweat on us and also see us. Brian, my pal, is a really bad dancer. But loves music, and as soon as the music started, he got up and danced. All the other people in the front row were dancing as well. I'm the guy standing there who looks like the party killer because I have this face, and everybody else is dancing. But it's clear that I'm with Brian. We looked like we were fighting. We looked like the oldest fighting gay couple in Chicago at the Fleetwood Mac concert. And I went backstage, and Stevie Nicks wanted me to pet her dog, and no, that's not good.
No, that's not good.
But so
that's
you what didn't was dance at all?
Oh, yeah, I danced.
Oh, yeah, okay. Was she on stage like, come on, let's get some dancing out of the front row.
Lindsey Buckingham pointed at me and made fun of me, you know. And
but that was when you and Brian broke up. That was the night that you actually broke up.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I wish you would have invited you on the stage.
Well, you know, that would have really been a camera.
Oh, like Courtney Cox?
Yes.
Courtney
Cox. That's all I could think of.
Bruce Springsteen, Courtney Cox. Somebody I think Lindsey Buckingham and
Steve
me
and
would not be.
His little half t-shirt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Wouldn't be quite as viral.
Oh, my God.
Next. The Vikings did the Bears a big favor last night. Let's go live to Justin on this.
Oh, hey, Dave's out.
Oh, Dave's out. I thought we were just cutting out of the entire day,
the
Dave, not just lunch.
Okay, I'm going back to bed.
All right, Dave, not watch a game. Dave,
you and I agree that this was a bad football game. It benefits the Bears, but this was a bad football game.
It was a bad football game, and quite frankly, the Vikings, who... coming off the miracle, the Minneapolis miracle last year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought this was the team to watch now in the NFC. And they
Super
were going to run
they're
away.
They're headed
with,
for the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, and here they are. They're holding the second wild card spot by the skin of their teeth, as they say. I mean, they're just... And all these teams that are competing for those wild card spots are all losing. They're all going the wrong way. I mean, you know, Dallas is taking control in the NFC East. The Bears have the North pretty much locked up. The Saints and the Rams have their division.
Teams that were a lock, no, not so much.
Yeah, and all these other teams, Washington was playing well for a while. They've gone down the chute. And Philly lost a big game on Sunday. The Vikings, the Packers are they need so much help, it's ridiculous.
I think the Eagles are almost historic in a post-Super Bowl winning year as far as how bad they are.
You thought the Rams game was big. The Bears have the chance to win out the North on Sunday and knock the Packers out of the playoffs.
It's a great way to get into the playoffs.
Could you imagine? At Soldier Field.
At Soldier Field?
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. Next. Red Eye says there's too many Christmas bars in Chicago. I've asked Christmas Pete to join us. Now, your list is, in along with the people at Red Eye, because I'm sure they consulted you on this.
They did.
You should be consulted on all Christmas things. The list that I have in front of me, are these bars that should never have been opened, or are they bars that actually do Christmas well?
I feel that there are some bars that should never have been opened.
That's a big thing, right? That's a new thing. In the last couple of years, they're doing pop-up, quick kind of Santa Christmas-themed bars to try and big quick cash grab.
Yeah, and some of them do the understated Christmas very nicely.
Are these the good ones or the not-so-good ones?
There are some really good ones.
Right,
in
let
there.
Me just throw them at you. Tied at number 11, a cocktail story at CH Distillery.
It's fine. Yeah.
Okay. The Reindeer Room at Tack Room.
I've never been.
Where's Tack Room?
That's next to Dahlia Hall.
Oh, of course
Wilson.
It is. Number 10, Frosty's, a Christmas bar.
No,
That's too big. That one for you, I think.
Number 9, Christmas Sucks at Ludlow Liquors.
That's all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I think Christmas Sucks. You'd be dead set against that.
I mean, it's festive.
All right. Number 7, a BL bar and kitchen?
Yeah.
Is that the pronunciation?
I'm not sure of that one.
It's like B apostrophe A-L or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Happies at the Chicago Athletic Association.
That's fine. Yep.
Santa Baby at Deuces in the Diamond Club?
No.
Shut it down?
Shut it down.
Close it up today.
Yep.
Deuces.
How could you be against anything at Deuces, dude?
Deuces. Come on, Pete. Let's go to Deuces.
Tide's number three, Silver and Golden Teardrops. That's the name of the place?
Yeah, that's in the basement of another bar.
Would it be a speakeasy?
It's a speakeasy.
Kind of a speakeasy sort of
deal?
Yep. Jingle Bell Square at Lost Lake?
Terrific.
Oh, it is good.
Yep.
Okay. Because I've heard mixed. No, also tied for third, Miracle at Sable Kitchen and Bar.
That's fine, yeah.
All right, number two, Elfed Up at Stretch Bar and Grill.
I mean, I love Elf, but no.
It's all Elf, is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the movie.
You know this one, Dave?
No, I totally.
Are you just happy I'm going through?
I've not been to any of these.
Are you just happy I'm going through an entire list of boos and I haven't mentioned you once in this?
Yeah, I am kind of happy about that. I'm also just wondering what makes a good Christmas bar as opposed to all these bad ones.
Well, that's a great question, but maybe it's Christmas Club at the Country Club because that was number one.
I like Christmas bars that are filled with normal people that just like Christmas. I don't want to see, like, you know, people like, you know, Pete McMurray comes in here wearing a Christmas suit.
Christmas frauds.
You know, come on.
Yeah, the Christmas
frauds. You know, like, an understated Christmas
These are
enjoyment.
People that go to church only on Christmas time. They celebrate. Yeah, they celebrate. They go to temple once a year, whether they need it or not.
So, Pete, I would
hobby
say you're not,
Christmas
you're not a,
fans.
You're not a fan of T box.
I'm not exactly right. The T box crowd,
which is the Wrigleyville pub crawl that just happened.
12 bars of Christmas.
Evidently, not a fan of Pete McMurray either.
No, I love you know.
No, no, we love Pete. You
know, yeah, I love
just
it.
Just a suit.
Hello. By the way, moments ago, Pete named chief of staff to Donald Trump. Congratulations.
And Pete
apparently
got
no
the
one
lead
else
in
will take
the play,
job.
Too.
Oh, Pete's got the what?
He's probably got the lead in the play.
Right now, Pete and David Plyer are being, it's a coin flip.
And Dean Richards also listed Steve Dale on the list of people that probably have leads.
Oh, Steve Dale, Pete, and David Plyer fighting for the lead in the Christmas play. So there you go. That's your top six at six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I just had a kid of the week. We found, or I should say Justin found the Kurt Summers quote.
That's
this
really
Kurt Summers. Kurt Summers getting, either that or I didn't get you on till now. Kurt Summers and Mayor Rahm Emanuel having a tiff. Retell that
I
story?
Went to the Twitter library. I just went downtown.
Oh, well,
Twitter
that makes sense.
Library. I got my card. No. So it was actually David Axelrod who tweeted out because he had Mayor Emanuel on his podcast, The Axe Files.
I actually watched most of that.
Yeah.
Or I should say listened to most of that. It was pretty good.
So Axelrod tweeted out, Emanuel argues much of Chicago's violence stems from lax guns in neighboring states, right? That's he goes on to talk about that idea. Kurt Summers out of nowhere retweeted it and put a comment on saying he also argued, referencing the mayor, that it stems from a lack of values in our community. Slavery, systemic oppression, Jim Crow, mass incarceration, closing 50 neighborhood schools, closing mental health clinics, covering up the murder of a 17-year-old. But black people in Chicago lack values? That's what he wrote.
That's not what the mayor said. I heard the exchange. I literally heard that exact exchange. I'm not defending the mayor. I'm just saying that the comment is not incorrect, what Kurt Summers said, but it does not apply to that statement.
Well, I guess going off of the tweet of Axelrod's tweet, which is the quote that Axelrod puts in is the mayor said, you and I want to get in a car and drive 20 minutes and you can get anything you want. Just place the order. 60% of the guns we seize come from outside Illinois.
Right.
And Summers is responding to a different argument the mayor has made about values in those communities.
Yeah, but again, that's the danger, and I'd say it to both of them, that's the danger of Twitter, right? Because you can respond to anything and make it in real time what it's not.
And that wasn't even on the agenda or in the conversation, so it's obvious that this has been boiling sort of sticking in the craw of Kurt Summers, the treasurer.
And do we know what he's going to do next?
He said, no, he was a name that was bandied about for mayor, but he didn't run. And he's an interesting guy because he's a young African-American politician in Chicago, and he has a lot of choices, and he's young.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the sky's the limit. I'm not, but again, you said it before, they were buddies. Kurt Summers came in.
Yeah, it's surprising.
I think at his beginning of his career, he was appointed by the mayor. So,
All right, let's see the kid of the week. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah. Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah.
That's a genuine laugh.
Yeah, well, of course it is, right? Ella Gonzalez joins us. Ella is this week's Kid of the Week. Good morning, Ella.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing fine, thank you. Where do you go to school?
West Aurora High School.
And what year are you there?
I am a senior.
Uh-oh. What are you doing next year?
Not exactly sure, but I plan on going to a four-year university somewhere.
What do you want to do with your life?
As of now, I'd like to go into some sort of law. If that leads into politics, that would be the ideal situation. But again, I'm only a senior, so we'll just have to be aware.
Well, this is good, though. you would like to go the elected office route. I'd like to vote for you for president right now.
Well, I'd love that. That's great.
Yeah, because I'm sure you could fix things. And as you know, they need a lot of fixing. Where's your interest in politics come from?
I just have a passion for helping people and being a part of civic engagement. I think it's extremely important for especially the youth to be involved. So I think that's where my passion stems from, because I'd like to learn and figure out how to engage the younger community into civic engagement.
Talking to Ella Peters-Gonzalez, the Kid of the Week this week. All right, now, this is an important part of this conversation, I think. Do you feel awkward when you talk about this stuff around your friends, or are we not giving kids enough credit because there's more kids like you out there than we know?
I don't think we're giving kids enough credit, especially at my school and being a part of the Aurora Youth City Council. There are so many students that have a drive and a passion and a huge opinion when it comes to politics and what they believe in and what they want to see happen in the country that we're growing up in. So I think that when it comes to having a conversation, it's extremely important to involve the youth, because their opinions and views do matter and have a huge impact on what will come next.
Ella, you're in Aurora, and they always say that politics is all things local. So when you are leading some of the things that you've been involved in, your community lead organizer for the National High School Walkout Day, a student ambassador, part of the City of Aurora Youth Council, what are some of the issues in Aurora specifically that you're interested in?
In Aurora specifically, like the Aurora Youth City Council, we are focused on changing the name that Aurora has like previously been given. I know that people see Aurora as like a not like a good place, but I think that as years have passed, it's completely changed, and I think that's like the biggest part that especially in the Aurora City Council we work on fixing, because getting kids involved and bringing them down to like just downtown Aurora to enjoy a day together and be a part and understand what's going on in the local elections is just super important. And I think like losing that stigma is the most relevant thing that I think I'm trying to work on.
And I would back you up on that. I know Aurora well, and it is not the town it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and it's got great momentum going forward, so I'm glad you're a part of that. Sandberg.
So, Ella, one thing that we hear from people, adults mainly, is they don't get involved in civic duty type things because they don't feel like they can make a difference. Do you feel like you make a difference in the things you're involved in?
I do. Leading back to the school walkout that I led, that was led by me and my peer, and just us two were able to get 2,000 students to walk out of school that day to be a part of the flyover. And although in the beginning we had pushback from our administration, in the end we all ended up uniting as a school. And I think that alone made a huge difference, not only with giving the time to honor the lives lost in the Parkland shooting, but we also found a way to get rid of the differing opinions that were going around in the halls and all the confrontation that had arose from that situation to make it a good thing. And I think that alone is something that I'm extremely proud of. And I think it proves that people who are like having a voice and are standing up are heard.
Good for you. You're very impressive. You know that?
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure having you on. Ella Peters Gonzalez, senior at what school again?
West Aurora High School.
Dave, that's the Flying Horn Frogs, isn't it, West Aurora?
I don't believe
it is.
Oh,
not right. Okay,
no.
Are you the Blackhawks?
Correct.
Yeah, she's a Blackhawk.
Oh, well, good for her. Ella, you're a great kid of the week, and we've got some prizes. Sandberg, what do we give kids?
We're
going
to give Ella a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home to Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, or you can order on loumalnati's.com in an apt gift card.
And I just want to congratulate you on one last thing. I know you get involved with Hesed House. It's one of my favorite organizations, very forward-thinking homeless shelter run by some great people. So thank you for doing that as well.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
All right, Ella, have a great day at school. Hold on. How about that kid?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Ella, four more years. Oh, we haven't started with her yet.
You know what I like that she said when you said, well, what do you want to do with your life? And she goes, well, I like law or if that leads to politics, that'd be great. But I'm only a senior, so we'll see what happens. Like, she has very good perspective on where she is in her.
She does. The one thing she doesn't realize is this segment was almost over. So we're going to need answers, even if you have to make them up. Ryan Noble's coming up, the MVPP, Fritz Cagle, your new Cook County clerk, Dean later, and a guy named Dan Weissman, who is a guy you're going to get to know and need to know more, talking about this being the last day to sign up for what we still call Obamacare. Secret Santa gift exchange later. That's
and the Secret
wreck.
Santa gift exchange, we're going to be doing it throughout the morning. I already have a gallery up of the gifts. So people can preview that at WGNRadio.com, and then eventually there'll be the pictures of the people with their gift once they open it.
And the incredible thrill they'll have on their face when they find out what they
are. Exactly.
What was the cash limit on these?
20-ish, 25.
Oh, boy, I went way over that. I bet I've spent 26, 27 easy. Yeah. So let's do this, come back, and I got a question for Dave, too. And John, you can chime in on this as well. It's a similarity you and Dave have.
We all tune to Dave and you. We all tune to Dave and you.
So when you go to Florida, do you dress like, some sort of Jamaican Rastafarian look and dance to this song?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Okay.
John DeCoster here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Dave, your dad is how old?
He will be 95 next week.
And you're going down to spend some time.
We're having a little family birthday celebration.
Now, John, you lost your dad this year, and he was 94?
94,
So here's what I'm wondering, because I sometimes catch myself with my 31-year-old daughter and my 27-year-old son. And by the way, Ross is much better at being annoyed about this than Amy is. Where I will, it's not that I treat them like they're kids, but I give them fatherly advice they clearly don't need. I'm always picking up the check.
Right.
I guess where I'm going with this is, are you going to get that from your dad this weekend? Does your dad try to pick up the check?
Oh, it's a constant struggle. It's a battle the minute we walk into a restaurant. Excuse me, I'm going to get up for a second. I go over and talk to the server. I say, please make sure I get the check. And when they come, now when the server comes over to the table, my dad will say, I get the check. So this becomes sort of a power struggle that goes on throughout the meal.
So basically, Dave's a disrespectful son.
Well, you could say that, or you could say, Dad, you've carried the weight for too many years.
Exactly right.
It's time. Yeah. Did your dad do that too?
He would do that always. I'm sorry. He would always do that. And then right before he actually went back into the hospital, I said, why are you doing this? And he goes, your big payday is New Year's Eve. That's the day that you, and he knows that this year, New Year's Eve, has to be the biggest one for it to be successful.
Right.
So he would always pay, and he'd go, where do I go again? I go, Eventbrite, Dad. You go to Eventbrite.com to get
those. Because you're not getting
tickets.
Comps for me.
It's at the Tivoli in Downers Grove, Dad. It's not that far from your house.
Throughout the morning, John will be working in creative plugs for the New Year's Eve show. Out of context, but in the conversation.
I don't even think it's just dads. I think moms do that, too. I know that my wife's mom does that, and she gets mad.
That's we've had tears at the table.
Tears at the table.
Yeah, Pat paid for a bill, and my mom started crying and got mad at my dad, and then my dad was crying. It was terrible.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You have to respect your elders in
yes,
this, I think.
You do.
I have the same fight with my mother-in-law when the two of us go out to lunch all the time.
All right, so what do you do with the advice part? Like, the advice part, like, does he ever look at you like you're driving in the winter going, now listen, slippery out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to be careful out there.
I get sarcastic. I always got sarcastic. I go, thank God you're here.
But isn't the pay, by paying for the meal, doesn't that give you carte blanche if you are the dad to then distribute advice? Like, you are now, that's why you pay for those things. You pay
yeah,
for the meal,
but I
so
don't
you can say, save your money.
On paper, but I don't think they're connected. I think there's a lot of cheapskate dads out there who are still handing out advice and don't pick up a check.
Don't pick up the check.
The only thing my dad did, I don't know if yours did, he would get up from the table, say he was going to the bathroom, and I never saw him again.
No, my father has not done that.
He just walked
I'm
out.
Like, you son of a
gun. He just walked out.
And he was gone. I saw him in the car sitting waiting for me.
I will say I get a driving lesson from him every time I'm driving, especially in Florida, where you know what it's like down
Is
there.
Is that right?
Oh, he's like, watch it. And because when he's driving, and he's still driving in 95, if he sees somebody pulling out 3/4 of a mile ahead,
yeah. Pulls out to the side of the road.
He hits the horn. He's
see now
95-year-old road rage.
Okay, here's my question for you, Dave. Because my father and Jackie's mom, they do the same thing. They sit and then the car as we're driving, they're going, "Oh, Rexall drugs."
They announce the
yeah,
story.
They just read signs. Everything is, oh, look at that. You know, Carson Peary Scott.
I want to give myself credit while I also out myself here. My daughter is buying her first house.
Yeah.
And she's 31 years old. And I feel I've done a very good job at not screwing it up for her. I have not given her a bunch of advice. I have been a consultant. I've answered questions. I've tried to guide her in the right direction. She's done it all on her own. I'm very proud of her. But I would, whenever this conversation would happen, whether it was on the phone or in person, I would hang up the phone or leave the area we were in if it was in person, and I'd get a twitch, like a visible twitch. Like, oh, there's really important things I should say right now. I'm just going to have to keep them to myself. So if I ever meet you in public and I give you advice for your life, it's because I can no longer.
On a side note, Amy has called me every day for the last 2 weeks.
Surprised. We're going to come back, get you headlines just a second, or actually the news in just a second. Ryan Nobles will join us as well. Steve Grzanich is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
I hope Donald Trump is not removed from office by impeachment, because it would let the country off the hook. And it would drive into the fabric of our nation a third of the people believing there was a coup. And we need a moment of inflection where we all get off the couch and say, that is not who we are. And in a landslide, rid ourselves of this attack on our values. And if we, in a way, short-circuited that with an important, legitimate process through the Constitution, we'd be letting ourselves off the hook in a way, and we wouldn't have the moment of clarity that we need in this country. That said, if the facts are there and the legislative new houses of Congress think it's appropriate, that's fine.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Former FBI Director James Comey had a sit-down this week. He said about 15 different things there all at the same time. The fact is, impeachment is bad for America. The other fact is, if someone has committed crimes where they need to be removed from office, politically or criminally, it needs to happen. And waiting for the next election may not be an option. Ryan Nobles joins us from CNN. And by the way, Ryan, I'm suspending the CNN network today.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
because I got that power, Steve.
I just saw a graphic that said 59 weeks until the Iowa caucuses. I want you to talk to the people at CNN and tell them we don't need that.
Steve, the 2020 election is well underway, whether you realize it or not. It does not help you to ignore it. I can tell you that.
Ryan Nobles with us. Since we last talked, the world has changed again, and very serious trouble for Donald Trump. And he seems to be understanding it, though he wouldn't admit that in public, through his various bursts of anger and the continued leaks of the White House. What am I missing this morning?
Hey, did you not see the tweet where the president said he's been totally clear? Did you miss that?
I did
Are
see that.
Are you ignoring that? Or?
I am, actually, yes. Much like the 59 weeks till the Iowa caucuses. But in Washington itself, and I know you've been busy with the North Carolina story and doing a great job on that, by the way. But in Washington itself, has the talk changed at all?
I don't think it has, because I don't think that I think everybody was anticipating that, you know, bit by bit, day by day, Robert Mueller was going to continue to amass this amount of information and evidence against the president. And we'd get a little more information as time went on, and it would start to come together and crystallize in a way that would be really damaging for Donald Trump. And I don't necessarily know if the president recognized that. And so I think that when the different posture for the president, not necessarily everybody else around the president or people covering the president, is that he is actually starting to see the tangible results of Robert Mueller's work. And I do think that's making him start to worry. You know, he's seeing these people that were tightly associated with him, people that he thought were loyal to him to a fault, cut deals, either head to prison or, are going to have a felony on their record for the rest of their lives, and they're voluntarily doing that. And I think he is starting to be concerned about how that impacts him. And, you know, when I think, like anything, Steve, if he's saying that he's ready to write a rebuttal for a report that he doesn't even know what the conclusion is yet,
right,
that tells you that he is starting to be nervous about exactly what it could reveal.
Ryan, the president has tweeted out in the last couple of days the famed smocking gun tweet, but it seems more often he is continuing this process of I don't know if it's marketing in a way where he will do all caps no collusion, all caps witch hunt,
yep,
and he continues to say it almost like they're hashtags. Is that sticking for his base? I mean, are people picking up that the president, what the president is putting down here when it comes to the marketing or trying to sell this idea of witch hunt?
Let me tell you something. This is what Donald Trump is better at than almost anything that he does over the course of his life. He's a brilliant marketer. He is brilliant at boiling down complex issues into very simple catchphrases that, if you are inclined to support him and want to believe him, that you take in and basically filter out everything else. And that's, you know, I'm joking about the tweet where he talked about totally clear as a president. Thank you. And I think that's because if you are somebody that is a kind of a blind-eyed supporter of President Trump, you are not interested in what anybody else says or what any other piece of information is revealed. You only want to hear what he says. So when the stuff with Michael Cohen was coming down and it looked pretty bad for Donald Trump, you know, there's a lot of information that's being thrown at people all at once, but there's a one-line tweet from Donald Trump that says, I've been cleared. Like, you don't have to worry about this anymore. And I do think there are a lot of people that just say, okay, nothing to worry about. And I think we've talked about this on the show before. What he's done so effectively with this process is he has so boiled down, in his mind, the definitive conclusion of Robert Mueller better be some sort of smocking or smoking gun evidence, that he was basically in a room with Vladimir Putin and they had a handshake deal to sell the presidency to Vladimir Putin. And if that's not revealed, well, then he's completely cleared. And there could be a whole host of criminal activity that Robert Mueller's able to unveil that is connected either directly or indirectly to Donald Trump. And Trump will say, well, nothing to see here. Let's move on to the next thing.
Well, that's the great problem, right, is the rest of us, including those of us who cover these stories and talk about these stories, we're just as sick of it as you are. But you can't not talk about it. You can't just look the other way, because every day that this continues to go on, you erode more sand from the beach that is America. How about that for an image? Pretty impressed, aren't you, Ryan?
Yes.
So we can't look the other way.
You know, it's interesting because it's one thing, and I'm one of these people that spends a lot of time in Washington, and I understand that that is a bubble, and that the way that we view and consume news in Washington, D.C. is much different than it is in the rest of the world. But I'm fortunate because I'm a political journalist that also gets to get out into America and actually talk to human beings that have never been to Washington before. You know, I spent a lot of time in Florida over the past couple of months. I'm in North Carolina this week with this a story about what looks to be rampant election fraud. And I talked to two or three people last night who, you know, admitted to me that they were Donald Trump supporters and just told me that they are so upset in general about the direction of the country and that they voted for Trump for good reasons, thinking that he was going to help people like them. And now it was really tragic to a certain extent because the one person I talked to last night, who I think is a victim in this voter fraud scheme, she said to me, I never participate in politics. I don't ever feel like anybody cares about my voice. I voted for Donald Trump thinking that he did, and now 2 years in, it's clear to me that he doesn't. So now I'm just giving up. I don't want to have to play any role in it at all because I don't trust any of those people. And that's, I think, what's been so damaging over the past 2 years is because people were already suspectful of the system, and that distrust is only grown, and that is not good for our democracy.
Another area that, of course, and quickly, just today, Nancy and Chuck are going to meet with President Trump, and this is really about border security, but it's also about a government shutdown. And the possibility of one that could happen within 2 weeks before Christmas. Another area that the American people are sick and tired of, this idea that it continues, this government shutdown idea continues over and over and over. But Trump has had a good relationship with Chuck and Nancy before. Now that there's a Democrat, now that there's Democrat rule in the House, will we see a different tone or a different tune coming from the president?
Well, you'd think that it would be in his best interest to try and find a way to find some common ground with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, because they're going to play such a much more important role in this process going into the new year. But the fact of the matter is that the president still holds all the cards in this lame duck session where the future of government spending hangs in the balance. And, I talked to Phil Mattingly, our Capitol correspondent, a couple days ago about, the chances of a government shutdown. And Phil, who knows this better than anybody, was pretty blunt. He's like, it all depends on whether or not Donald Trump wants it to happen. If he wants to cut a deal, he'll cut a deal. If he doesn't want to cut a deal, it's possible that, he's like the Joker in the Batman movie. There are some people that just want to see the world burn. He might think that there's some benefit to him heading into the new year to shut down the government and blame it all on Democrats before they start this new legislative process. Now, that won't be the facts. Their congressional leaders are willing to deal. Donald Trump just has to be able to want to come along to that process. And I do think this could potentially set the stage for what happens in 2019. And I think it's important to point out, guys, that, the last time they passed a budget plan, there was a significant number of major government entities, the military, certain national security apparatus, that were given longer reprieves, so to speak. They were put into basically a different spending bill. So this government shutdown, while it would impact, hundreds of thousands of federal workers and federal agencies, it wouldn't have the same broad impact that these normal government shutdowns do. So does Donald Trump put that in the back of his mind and say, hey, maybe this is worth it to take this political calculus because I can make the argument that the important things are going to remain open, but Democrats are playing hardball. I do think that's a distinct possibility, and they're right up against the Christmas recess. I think that this is definitely something people have to keep in mind, not take their eye off the ball, because this is a real possibility.
Thank you, Ryan, and please wish Senator McConnell all the best with his laryngitis. He is apparently still very, very sick. He's been unable to speak and say anything about Donald Trump's current legal problems. It's certainly not that he's not a leader or a coward. It must be the laryngitis. And thank you for your time, as always.
All right, guys, have a great week. Thanks for having me.
See you later. Ryan Nobles from CNN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Time for the most valuable person on the planet, and regretfully, we don't have enough time for this subject because it deserves a lot more. So I'm hoping Dr. Chris Barsotti will come back, and we'll talk about this in greater detail. But as all of you know, Dr. Tamara O'Neill was murdered by her ex-fiancé at Mercy Hospital less than a month ago, and the Dr. Tamara O'Neill Memorial Research Fund is an important part of the bigger picture, and that's violence. Partner on partner, and specifically women who are killed. Dr. Barsotti, good morning. To the tune of about 50 women a year, is that right?
It's about 50 women a month.
I'm sorry, a month.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, it's 600 women a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about a firm.
So AFFIRM is the American Foundation for Firearm Injury Reduction in Medicine, and we are a collection of physicians and a coalition of medical organizations who are seeking to eliminate the epidemic of gun violence in our country. And we're going to do that through research, innovation, and changing the way we practice medicine, but also the way that we conceive of the problem.
You know, the National Rifle Association said doctors ought to stay in their own lane. This is your lane.
Absolutely. This is our lane in every way, because we see patients on the front end before they actually perpetrate acts of violence, and we see them at the other end where these acts of violence have already been committed. So we occupy every lane in this highway.
Well, what can the public do, aside from being smart about their own gun ownership if they have it? What can the public do?
So the public can help us to get our research done. You know, we can't solve a health crisis without investing in the process of figuring out what works, and that is research. And the United States, unfortunately, has not invested in research in more than 20 years in the problem of gun violence. And so physicians have been talking to each other for more than 20 years trying to advocate for more research funding, and we realize that it's just not working. Even this past year, the House refused to appropriate money to the CDC to study this topic, and so we have banded together to create a bypass to this political impasse.
So are you talking... I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. And we are seeking public sector partners in order for us to be able to complete our research.
Are you talking about mental health specifically in relation to gun violence?
We're talking about all aspects of health related to gun violence. You know, people commonly think of gun violence as being a mental health problem, and it really depends on how you think about mental health. Because people with schizophrenia, with major depression, and bipolar disease are not more likely to commit acts of violence. They're more likely to be victims of gun violence. But people who have prior violent behaviors, who have addiction issues, who have certain kinds of personality disorders, these people assist in the contribute to the problem of gun violence. So, yes, mental health, but it's all aspects.
We'll let you go on this, Doc, and I hope you will come back and talk about this, because I appreciate your passion on it and certainly understand it. But people need to understand the research is important, not just because it's a bunch of eggheads who want to sit around and talk about the research. The research drives political will and a lack of political will. And 20 years without significant research on gun violence means a lot of people can hide in Washington and in your own state legislatures, wherever you're listening around the country. So this is more than important. It's certainly important from a medical perspective, but it's important politically as well. So give them the website again, Doc, if you would.
That's www.affirmresearch.org.
And corporate donations are certainly appreciated, partnerships as well, but individual money matters. And thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Dr. Chris Barsotti. We will come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You know, here in the world's greatest city, a lot of difficult jobs, a lot of tough jobs. A lot of jobs maybe you don't want, but somebody better do them. I would argue the Cook County clerk's job is one of those tough jobs that maybe you don't want to take on. But personally, I can only speak for myself here. I'm glad Fritz Keggy's in the job. Good morning, Fritz. How are you?
How are
you? Can
I
call you Fritz?
Well, you can call me Fritz, but you should call me the assessor rather than the clerk.
Yeah, clerk somebody else.
Yeah, that's a fair point. If you want to get specific about the actual job that you have. All right, you're taking over for a guy who was controversial, to say the least, and that's Joe Berrios. And Joe apparently thought the office was a family reunion at some point. So let's start there. How many of your relatives currently work for you, and how many more will you be hiring?
That would be zero. I mentioned that in my inauguration speech. I thank my family for being there, but sadly, I can't.
But you're not getting a job.
Jobs. Nope.
Can you quantify in some way how big a problem that was in relation to the rest of the problem, which was just people were getting breaks that didn't deserve breaks?
Well, quantifying it is statistically, this office has been one of the worst performing in terms of how it does in terms of accuracy and equity and fairness among all of the large jurisdictions in the United States. Statistically, and people know this in their daily experience. People have, everyone in Cook County has their own personal story about how this office has behaved strangely, unfairly, and it really creates a sense of resentment among people who live here. And the thing that we all need to know is that this is unique in the United States. Our system,
this system,
yes, it's very different. In most of the United States, people go throughout their lives without having to know who the assessor is,
Or the clerk,
They take the numbers and they go on. You know, I talk to my friends out on the East Coast and I ask them, do you know who Carmela Quintos is? And I've yet to find out anyone who does. And she's New York's assessor.
Yeah, it sounds like a breakfast food.
Right.
So here's the thing that people need to understand, and it's difficult to wrap your head around, but terms in politics don't mean every problem's going to get fixed overnight. And I think you've been very open about that in public, going, let's go take some time.
It will take a lot of work. You know, assessments go in a three-year cycle. Even if we have the world's most brilliant plan put into place on day one, it'll only first be visible in people's bill in one-third of the county 1 year from now.
Right.
But there are many things that we can deliver on earlier than that, too, and we did that with our 100-day plan, which has gotten really terrific reception so far.
Assessor, there's so much been made. The Tribune had a big piece that really was about your predecessor, Joe Berrios, and how some big corporations and people who make money in Chicago and Cook County were getting tax breaks that they shouldn't have. You know, how do you clean that up? How do you go to a company that was getting a tax break through the formula that the assessor's office put forth and tell them that there's a new formula and they're going to have to pay much more?
Well, the whole idea of how this system works is we're supposed to be estimating the market value of every property in Cook County. And the great thing is that there's an actual market out there. There's actual data out there that will help us to do that. And assessors' offices in the rest of the country do this just fine. So we can take the best practices that they use in places like New York and Boston and D.C. and Houston and elsewhere and bring them in, bring them here. We have a very clear line of sight about what needs to be done on that. And then the key is changing our culture. Changing it, giving people a sense that this office is being run fairly now. It's engaged in good stewardship. That will take several years for people to feel like they don't need to engage in a lot of the practices that they did before to survive in this system. We want to create a system where you don't have to know don't have to have a friend in the assessor's office to be treated fairly. That's something that you should have as an expectation of being someone who lives in Cook County.
Is there a difference between fairness and equity?
The legal standard is what's the market value of your home? Your share of the property tax levy here, which is set by others, it's not set by us, your share is supposed to be the market value of your property divided by the market value of all property in Cook County. That's the legal standard for fairness under the law, and I think most people would agree that's a fair way to do it.
Does the math work?
The math does work. This is a basic matter of you or I, if we're selling our home, we would get pretty quickly to an idea of what someone would pay for it in the market. That's what brokers do.
And if I don't like my assessment, I can certainly take that up as well. That's part of the great system of America that we have. More questions for you. And since you're dressed up nicely and you're here, you don't get to leave immediately. Sandberg, before the break, what were you thinking?
So I know before you wanted to be in this position because you had a hunch that things weren't being run properly, and we as residents all had that same hunch. Now that, you know, you've gotten into it, is it worse? Better? Could you rate where everything is?
Well, we came into this office a week ago, so there are probably still going to be some surprises.
So what are the answers, Fritz?
That we may not have learned about, but I've been at it for over a year and a half, running for the office, and then, after the primary, we've spent a lot of time talking to people to get their experiences, to walk through our plans. And people across the spectrum have had a really terrible experience. When we talk to people who are investing in buildings, owning buildings, we've heard all sorts of stories about how, the system, it prevents us from being able to borrow money at the best rate we possibly could. We talk to people who run banks, and the banks say that, we have to over-escrow people. We have to reduce the amount that they can borrow because it's so wickedly uncertain what your assessment will be. And that just cascades down to every piece of property in Cook County. It affects the investment environment here. And we're all about changing that dynamic. And we can. We have the power in the office to run new models that are fair, that use all the data that's out there. We know we have a lot to do to rebuild the data that we have. It doesn't inspire confidence in folks when we know that the data about their homes is inaccurate. I think that's one of the things that we're learning more, that we really have to do a lot to upgrade the data. So this is a really important part of our 100-day plan, is upgrading the data, upgrading our models, putting into place the new ethics order that we put in on day one to create a sense that we're eliminating pay-to-play practices, conflicts of interest that we know have been out there, that people know in their daily experience have been out there. And then we want to bring in the International Association of Assessing Officers to do an audit so that we can understand where those risks are. We know about some of the risks. There might be some other risks that we don't know about. We want to bring them in and find out where we're falling short of best practices so we can get to have a national, be up to the standard that they have in other parts
of the country. It's an independent body that doesn't have a Chicago history and doesn't have an agenda here.
That's right. Well, actually,
hey, by the way, fun guys. Nothing more fun than those guys you described getting them.
Oh yeah!
Right?
Oh man, we went to their conference.
Crazy.
We went to their annual conference in Minnesota. There's nothing like an annual conference of assessing officers to get your blood rushing.
They had to bring in more cops just to keep an eye on them.
We're a nerdy bunch. So
more from Fritz Kagi in just a second. And if you guys want to jump in here on the text line at 312-981-7200, we'll try to grab a couple of those.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Cook County Assessor Fritz Kay is here. How long did you say you have the job?
It's a 4-year term.
No, I mean now. How long have you had the job?
1 week.
1 week. Are there people in the office now who are hiding because they know you haven't gotten to them yet?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, the people who work in the office are, a lot of them have a lot of great technical skills, and they've been really mistreated. We went up to the 9th floor where all the analysts work, and it was almost jubilation up there because I went up there. They'd not seen senior management of the office.
Is that right?
Over a period of years, and just feeling like they're treated like
they're part of the
people
team.
And experts and professionals was a revelation
good for
to
you.
Them. And,
good for you.
And on the one hand, it feels good to receive that kind of jubilation. On the other, it makes me really sad that they weren't treated decently before.
Well, that's how you change it now, right? 847 Texter says, we ever going to get to a point where citizens don't have to hire an attorney to contest their assessment?
Amen. Well, this is a multi-year effort about building faith in stewardship and fairness of our office. So the 100-day plan gets us on the road to that. It started with our ethics order on focus on eliminating the culture of pay-to-play, nepotism, and all of that. And it's about focusing on disclosure of conflicts of interest, not taking donations from property tax appeals lawyers, and then it goes all the way down to the audit, putting in place new data and models, and also putting our code up for inspection because people we have to show our cards, show our work.
An organizational plan that actually is in effect. Now, you
That's
mentioned
right.
a couple of things there. Ethics, conflicts of interest. I realize that close personal friend Mike Madigan, he's still not coming on today, right? That Mike Madigan is not breaking any laws by being a partner in a law firm that does property tax appeals. But the great skepticism around the country, not just in Illinois, but certainly in Illinois, is those that benefit most from the rules are the ones that make the rules. So what incentive do they have to change the rules? How do you change that where people don't just put you in a pile with a bunch of other politicians and say, how do I know you're not one of them?
Well, this is why transparency is so important. We're going to be putting our models up for inspection so people can see, oh, here's how they've come up with the value of all these buildings. Everyone's being treated fairly and equitably. That's why we have a visitor's log as part of our ethics plan so people can see, you know, people's imagination runs wild when you don't tell people about what's going on when you're hiding the ball all the time. So that's why we want to put our models up for inspection, put our data up for inspection, have people be able to understand, here's how my assessment was calculated. Everyone can see how it's there. It's all about not taking donations from property tax appeals lawyers and appraisers who practice before the office. That builds confidence. There's so many things that we have to do to build confidence in this office. We know we're starting from rock bottom.
Sure.
But you know, it starts day one. With the ethics order, then the 100-day plan is all about making visible changes that people can start to see on transparency and ethics. And then a couple of years down the line, people will see the better data and the better modeling that we're doing in their bills.
There you go. Last word, Justin.
There was a lot of bells and whistles and smoke and mirrors when it came to not only the Cook County Assessor, but we've seen from different politicians about where tax money comes from, TIFs and other places. Are we in for a rude awakening in Cook County? If you're going to change the formula and make it transparent and use the formula with market value, are you going to see middle-class families and working-class families get tax bills that are way higher than they're used to?
Well, that's a great question because, first of all, people need to understand there are two different things that go on here. There are many different taxing bodies in Cook County that that basically set how much is going to be raised. $14 billion of property taxes have to be raised this year, and it rises. We don't raise revenue. What we do is we take that amount that has to be raised, and then we divide it up according to the market value of everyone's
property.
Yeah,
but I'm saying the formula will change. So if the formula changes, are you going to see people in Chicago neighborhoods get a tax bill that you know makes their eyes pop out of their head?
Well, it depends on where they were before. But the key thing to know is that we are going to be investing a lot to make sure that the data, that the models that we're using are making sure that everyone is being treated fairly, that we're getting that market value of everyone's property right. Every time there's a transaction, we're going to be comparing, how does that compare with how we estimated it to be? Are we doing it in a biased way? And it's eliminating biases, favoritism that distorted that process before. The original sin of this office was deciding in advance on who's going to get the more favorable outcome at the expense of everyone else. We're to use a big word, we're intent on extirpating that dynamic from the way this office
works. Don't you
be
bringing language like that in here. We'll let you go, but we got a lot of texters who are wondering if seniors are going to get equitably taken care of by way of appropriate discounts or looks at what they're doing after the contributions they've made.
Well, what I'd like to say is, my dad, he turned 81 this year, very stingy with money. I didn't get my hair cut at a barber until I was in seventh grade, endured a lot of embarrassment.
Sure.
We drove a beater around for most of the 70s and 80s, didn't have a color TV. My dad loved to save money, but he forgot to apply for the seniors exemption this year because my mom died.
Okay.
And there are so many seniors who have to go through great hardship just to get a benefit that,
want to be an automatic.
Seniors have to recertify every year that they're still a senior citizen.
I'm so glad you brought this up because honestly, your parents, our parents, our grandparents—they got enough paperwork to do.
Yeah, my dad's just a walker. He can't go up to the office and stand in line.
The plan is to make it easier.
The plan is to make it easier. We think that we should have annual renewal of the seniors exemption as long as someone's alive and they haven't moved from their house. When my mom died, Medicare knew instantly. All these different institutions knew very fast. There's no reason why the assessor's office couldn't do that and then require people to reapply for the seniors exemption. That will require a legislative fix. But the thing is, when we're spending so much time telling people that they should appeal, that means we're taking resources away from making people aware of the exemptions that everyone's entitled to. Not only seniors, but veterans, people who've been living in neighborhoods for a long period of time, there are exemptions for them. We want to focus more on building awareness of the exemptions that are out there for everyone rather than spending time doing workshops saying, you know what, we're getting wrong, you should appeal.
You have 10 years on me, and frankly, your agenda makes me tired, so keep after it.
Okay.
And thank you for the passion for this, and we'll keep an eye on you, and you keep asking to come back.
Great. Well, I'd love to come back, and thanks for having me here, guys. I appreciate it.
Congratulations on being the clerk and the assessor.
Okay.
I think that's great
for you. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you giving me a promotion.
That's exactly right. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Rzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one I should. Yeah.
Dean Richards, Channel 9, more on entertainment. Hi, buddy.
Good morning.
Let's jump right in because we're tight on time today. Mel B cut her hand off.
She did not cut her hand off.
I swear to you, I saw 20 stories that said she had a severed hand.
She did have a hand injury. She fell at a friend's house. I have to tell you how that could happen to anybody. She broke two ribs and suffered a hand injury that looked way more severe, apparently, than it was. But it was all wrapped up in a cast and bandages and all that stuff. She was hospitalized for it. She is resting comfortably right now. And Steve, rest assured, has been visited by her fellow Spice Girls.
Oh, well, that's great, then.
Yeah,
get a little Spice love.
Wait, did Victoria Beckham go?
Everyone except Victoria Beckham went.
I'm sure she didn't smile if she did.
No, she never smiles.
No, ever.
Victoria Beckham could see rainbows and puppies together, and she still doesn't smile.
She must have bad teeth.
British.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good an explanation as any. As you and Dean, Dean, as you and I know better than most, Kim Kardashian's mom got her started off in this fabulous career of hers by helping her market her porn tape.
That's right.
Very important.
Mothers are very important to.
They're very important. They show you. They show you the way.
Child's right.
So what did Miley Cyrus' mom do?
Well, this is sweet, and you know I love a lovely story like this, especially around the holidays.
Sure.
You know, Miley Cyrus had gotten off the marijuana, mm-hmm. the devil's weed,
the pot. You're on the pot,
right? The reefer got her off the reefer. But Miley Cyrus has disclosed that thanks to her mom,
mm-hmm.
she is back smoking pot again. Her mom encouraged her to get back on it again. She said in an interview, Miley said about her mom that she smokes quite a bit of weed herself. And probably doesn't mind that she's disclosing this in an interview, but she is back on the marijuana and doesn't use it when she performs usually. But she has a couple of times. She has a couple of times on her latest album. So take that, Norman Rockwell. Happy holidays.
Oh, I remember when my mother tried to get me back on the LSD, and I said, I don't even think they make that anymore.
You know, those nostalgic drugs.
Beyonce got hired to perform at this wedding in India, and I never found out what the number was that she made. But did I hear this right? This wedding cost $100 million?
I did hear that figure. I have not confirmed that.
$100 million.
Well, imagine how much it costs just to get... And look, most people for their weddings, they get a DJ...
Mm-hmm. Who plays Beyonce, who, not actually Beyonce.
Yeah. You get a DJ. Sometimes, you know, you get a nice band. If you're really wealthy, you get a nice band. You do your chicken dance. You do your hokey pokey.
You turn yourself around.
This is the daughter of the richest man in India,
mm-hmm.
who married another billionaire. So, and this wasn't even the wedding, by the way. This was the pre-festivities, you know, for Indian Hindu ceremonies. They have like 5 days worth of ceremonies. This was one of the pre-ceremonies that featured Beyonce. The actual wedding is today. So I don't know what they're planning for the big wedding. If they had Beyonce at the pre-show, I don't know what they could possibly
probably
have.
Golden Corral.
Yeah. Well, you got to save money somewhere.
Yeah.
Up with people.
Yeah.
Chance the Rapper. What's the story here?
He Instagrammed out a message last night saying that he was on a plane. And he was taking some time off because he wants to get closer to God. Says, I'm on a plane headed out of the country. I'm away to learn the word of God, which I am admittedly very unfamiliar with.
Wow.
Yeah, he says that he plans on giving up smoking during his time away. And since then has been posting biblical passages on his Instagram page.
Any particular reason now?
No idea.
That we're aware of? No idea? Okay.
No idea.
Justin, you're friends with his brother. Do you have any insight?
I am. He had a baby. His brother did. No, but he better get back here before the mayor's race. I was excited to see Chance injected into the mayor's race.
He's,
and I want
to
see him.
He's trying to get closer to God, Justin. Nah, this can't be about
closer
you.
To the mayor.
And
not in the mayor.
You want to get closer to God, you better get up to the fifth floor and City
Hall.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
And Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett just announced about 15 minutes ago is going to be honored by the Hollywood Foreign Press. These are the people who put on the Golden Globes, and they always give out the Cecil B. DeMille Award, a Lifetime Achievement Award for somebody in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
They're now also going to do that for Legends in Television, and Carol Burnett will be the first recipient
cool.
of that.
Oh, wow.
January 13th when they give out the Golden
Globes. And well-deserved. You know, you review and critique and criticize and praise entertainment all the time. Let me go live to John DeCoster. How'd Dean do today?
I think he did great. I wanted to say, because of Miley Cyrus, I actually did the marijuana last night.
Oh, you did the marijuana.
And all I got so high, I was thinking, I'm probably going to, like, I was dreaming I was going to do Dean's show this Sunday. And then I had this weird thing that he was going to do our New Year's Eve show.
Yeah, keep dreaming on both of those things.
I'm like, that's amazing to me. You know,
those
like,
kind of hallucinations
and I was
are
like,
why
you
stay off
the
pot.
You could probably go to Eventbrite.com and get tickets for this weird show dreaming. With Dean and Rocky and you and me.
If you just search my name?
That's New Year's Eve in Downers Grove?
In Downers Grove.
At the Tivoli?
You got high, too.
You know what? I'm going to have to wait and see what happens on the Sunday show this week between 9 and 10 a.m.
mm-hmm.
to see if what you're saying is true or just some drug. drug-filled dream.
I don't know.
This is Out of Context Tuesday, where John gets plugs in wherever he can, and well done by John. See you later, man.
Bye.
That's Dean. We're coming back in a moment to talk about your health insurance. Now, wake up! This is important. See you dozing off in your car. Health insurance matters, and for a lot of people, today is the last day to sign up. We'll hit that in just a second. Open enrollment depends, you know, company to company as to when you be able to get in for your company plan. But if you are signing up for what is still referred to as Obamacare.
Is it? Do we don't call it Trump Care anymore? I thought that was, they were trying to stick that because they tried to change Obamacare.
If they did, it just didn't stick.
It didn't stick, no. Is that good or bad for Obama?
Well, that remains to be seen,
right?
Dan Weissman joins us. Dan knows more about this stuff than most of us, but that doesn't mean he's not a good party guest, so maybe you should invite him to your holiday party anyway. Good morning, Dan.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for doing this. And what is the number one thing people ought to be concerned with today, aside from making their choices and signing up?
Wow. The number one thing people ought to be concerned with, I mean, making choices and signing up seems like if you need health insurance, that's the thing you got to do. One thing that I found in my reporting on this is, which isn't going to be a big surprise to a lot of people, is like, it's pretty hard to figure out what's a good deal for you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us don't understand all the terms, all the math, like what's a copay, what's co-insurance?
Right.
And I talked to some experts. I was like, I think I can do this. I got this. I can make a spreadsheet. And they were like, yeah, okay, cowboy. How about your pharmaceutical deductible? What about your emergency room deductible? Right. How about your, I was like, oh, crap. So it's super, super hard. The best advice I've seen is though to kind of try the basics of like, all right, one, what's, try to figure out what could this cost you to say, if you sign up for health insurance, what could this plan cost you in a kind of normal year is hard. That's the super hard part because it's like, oh, are my doctors covered? What are all these deductibles? The less hard part, but the really scary part is what would happen to me financially if I sign up for this plan and, you know, I get hit by a bus, God forbid. You know, like how much could I be on the hook for?
Right.
And that, you know, for better or worse, is not as impossible to figure out. The main thing, partly because if you're seeing people in network on an Obamacare plan, there's an out-of-pocket maximum. It's like on paper. That's how much you, once you pay that amount, the plan has you for the rest of, you know, the year, as long as you stick with doctors in that network. So you also want to check out, you know, if there's doctors you got to see, or at least, you know, you want to check out, like, could I live with that? Because if you go outside of that network, there's no limits at all.
Dan, you know, you do this podcast, An Arm and a Leg, which you just put out, and it really is trying to get to the heart of understanding healthcare. You've made the choice to take personal stories, what people have gone through, because I guarantee if we throw out the phone number right now and say, give us your healthcare horror stories, people go crazy. But it's a great entree into, you know, understanding how and why we have healthcare.
Yeah, right. Because we get sick, because we get hurt, because we're vulnerable. But yeah, and then in the environment we live in now, it's like, oh crap, though. Like, there's a story that I've come across where there's a guy who's a doctor who signed up for a high deductible health plan who's like, am I having a heart attack? I don't know. I can't afford to go to the ER right now. I got too high a deductible. So this is, I mean, that's the nice part, because he lived. He wasn't having a heart attack, but a lot of us are living with it all the time.
Right. Dan, you know, we talk about Obamacare, and we were kind of joking at the top about why, you know, why it's still called Obamacare, you know, in 2019. But the enrollment period ends this week. It's I think Saturday's the last day. It's a 10% drop. A lot of critics have said that that's because they've slashed the budgets for understanding or for advertising and marketing. But others say that because there's no longer an individual mandate, you may see that younger people are just foregoing getting health insurance in general. From your vantage point, why do you think that the numbers are down, and what can we expect in the next week to see if it bounces back?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, you've named a couple of factors. There's others. There's that some people, their plans will roll over automatically. Those numbers don't come in till the end of the period. I think we're just not going to know. But I think not having as much outreach, having a shorter period, They also slashed the, as you said, the budget for people who help people get sign up. All that stuff's probably in there. And there's also not as much in Illinois, but in other states, they've made it easier to sign up for plans that don't meet the standards that Obamacare sets.
All right, so every time I've seen an Obamacare screen since the inception of the plan, the algorithms basically give you three choices. The marketplace has more than three choices in it. Is there a way to get around that if you don't believe you've been given the choice that you like?
Oh, that's super interesting. I don't know. You're getting a little deeper than I go there. I hope not. I've shopped for health insurance on the Obamacare plan, and I tend to see more than three choices.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's probably my computer.
Computer using.
Yeah, it's just I. It seems to be more limited than I think it should be. But then again, I have to say that our own plan here has limited choices as well.
Yeah, it's your 2009 Microsoft Windows.
And when we were doing the, you know, I use the enrollment tools that our company has, and I would compare plans. And like you were saying, deciding about the deductible and how much it costs their year, and it's like, well, it only cost me this much. But how do you know this isn't the year that you have the big illness? You can't predict that or got hit by
it. And that's the thing too, right? Because is there one thing that you could say across the ages everybody should go, this is one thing I've got to be concerned about in my plan? Or does it literally depend who you are, where you are, and how healthy you are?
Yeah, I think it depends on who you are and how healthy you are. I mean, you do want to look at, like, okay, I mean, I could get hit by a bus. But then there's people who are like, okay, if that happens, then, like, yeah, everything's out the window. I'm gonna beg for financial aid. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do.
Arm and a Leg is the podcast. Where can we find out more information? And if a WGN listener wants to tell you their horror story, how do they do it?
Yeah, we got a website. It's armandalegshow.com, and there's a form right on the website, which is at armandalegshow.com/contact-us. And, bring it on. Bring it on, please.
And Dan, we want to have you back, but I just want to let you go with this, because I don't know that you heard this while we were getting you set up to get on the air, but I did volunteer that you would go to any Steve Cochran Show listener's house to help them make their choices today.
It's very nice of you, Dan.
So I hope you're cool with that.
Me and my dozen reindeer are going to be there.
That's about what you need.
There you go.
Thank you, Dan Weissman.
Thanks, Dan.
Appreciate you being on. All right, the Canterbury Carolers are coming up. Hopefully they have health care.
And so is our Secret Santa gift exchange.
And we're going to do this probably in two parts because we can't get it all done in one. Okay.
Yes.
Headlines.
There's a photo gallery up already of the gifts.
Where would I find that?
WGNradio.com.
Headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
This is one of my countdowns of terrible celebrity Christmas songs. Who is it? Anyone? Very famous name.
Ricky Martin?
Nope.
Oh, good guess.
David Hasselhoff.
I had it. So.
All right, Sandberg, it's time for the staff Christmas gift exchange, where we all had to go out and buy something for people whose names we picked out of a whatever. And you're going to tell us who goes first.
Yeah, this is traditionally known as, we also call it the Secret Santa.
Secret Santa.
Exchange, you're going like non-denominational with your
Yankee swap, Confederate swap. There's lots of names for it.
There are presents all over the console here. And I just want to say I'm a little bit disappointed in the gift bags. This is Christmas. This is not a birthday, guys.
Should I bring my gift?
John DeCoste.
Yeah,
look at John DeCoste right there. He is wrapped with a bow. Cochran.
With a bow.
This looks like something you got, that you got in the birthday aisle.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It's red and white.
We at least got some red and white and some Santa on there, but I'm like, I don't know. It's just it's the old Secret Santa.
Of course, Justin, who did not wrap his own gift.
No, I did not.
He commissioned his son to do it.
Miles did most of all of this for my Secret Santa.
So that says Christmas to you.
Well, I lost the bow. It's in my bag. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Christmas guy like you.
It's wrapped.
Who goes first?
Okay, well, I just want to let everybody know that Orion Samuelson will be here on Friday.
Okay.
So the person he has will get their gift on Friday, and then he'll be opening his gift on Friday. So he has Steve Grzanich. So, Steve, you cannot open until Friday.
So relax, Steve.
And Dave Bennett has Orion, and so we already have Orion's gift, and he'll get his gift on Friday.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Steve Grzanich then. And Steve Grzanich, who did you have?
I had John DeCoste.
All right, so bring that gift in here.
He's going to throw it through the wall.
No, come on.
No, bring it down. Come on down.
Wow.
Steve Gajan will make his way down here right now.
And then, John DeCoss, who did you have?
Oh, my God. I had, get this, Mary Sandberg.
What a thrill for you.
Why don't you hand me that gift?
John gives good gifts. You. I think he had me last year.
All right, you guys rip these open. Steve Grzanich has arrived in the room. And there's photos being taken while we're doing this. All right, John, open your gift.
Here you go, John.
If you're watching this on the video stream, congratulations.
This is,
John gets best rap. Look at that rapping job. Nice one. See?
Oh, that's perfect.
Right? Yeah.
No, PetSmart. Steve gave me a PetSmart gift card.
Oh, that's good.
With my two dogs, Katie and Chelsea.
Oh, that's good. You got yourself a chew toy.
Isn't there a bone or something attached to it?
That's very sweet.
It was a really nice one.
Nice.
It was a greatly wrapped.
That was perfect.
Sandberg, what did you get?
Hey, Pete, don't go too far here, because I have Pete, so I'm giving him.
Oh, that's convenient.
Oh, this better be good. Pressure's on when it's Christmas Pete.
Yeah.
He loves gifts.
Oh.
All right, Sandberg, what'd you get from Joe?
I got a cookie jar that says Biscuit on it, which is my sister's dog's name, and some caramel nips, which I love.
Oh, nice.
Usually Todd gives those to me, my boss, so this is fantastic.
Who's that from?
I bake John DeCoss, and I bake a lot of cookies.
Oh, the best chocolate chip cookies ever.
He wants you to fill the cookie jar.
Yeah, she's already
filled. Let's keep the golf claps going. Very nice.
Pete, you have to open your gift.
Pete is now opening a gift from Sandberg.
Yep, from Sandberg.
Pete's opening it like he would on Christmas.
There's a card in mine. Mine has a card.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Well, you can look at the card after. What'd you get?
No, I'll open the card first.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. A full-on revolution going on here. No, I'll open a damn card first.
In your face. Oh, this card looks familiar. It says, Spreading Good Holiday Cheer. And it has a couple of beers on there.
Is that a card your wife made?
It's a card that my wife made.
Oh, that's great.
That's nice.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
And by the way, you can get her cards where?
At LaFamiliaGreen.com.
Okay.
All right, what do we got?
That sound you hear is a present being unwrapped. It's three tennis balls.
No. Oh, my God.
And what do they say?
They say, Molly and Pete save Christmas.
On the tennis balls?
Wow. That's great. This is like the most thoughtful gift I've ever received.
Wait, do you play tennis?
That's very thoughtful.
He loves tennis, but they're actually dog toy ones.
Oh.
So he has dogs, though.
Well, that's very nice.
This is a really thoughtful gift.
Very, very nice.
You're welcome.
Making us all look
bad. So, Pete, you're gonna end here. Who do you have?
I have Super Joe.
All right.
Super
Joe. Go bring Super
Joe. What's up? Yes. Here we go. Can we just skip Joe?
No. Definitely not.
That's rude.
Poor Joe.
It's rude.
Poor Joe. Joe and I have fake anger at one another.
Well, it's fake for somebody.
Somebody has my pen.
Super Joe, are you opening your present?
Yes, I am. I got a card as well.
And describe that wrapping paper for us.
I would say look at the card later, but I'm afraid you'll snap at me like Pete did.
Yeah, I'm going to open the card first, so I don't care what you say.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't think we were supposed to get cards.
I thought we were just supposed to get cards.
I didn't get a card.
I got a card because Pete's wife sells cards. That's why I got a card.
Oh. Nice card from Pete. And this one came with a ribbon and cats on the wrapping paper.
Nice.
Why is there a pet thing this year? Oh, I get it. Those cats.
Go cats.
And a hush fell over the room.
Yeah. Here we go.
Why are you opening it like Abigail? Rip it open.
Well, there was a ribbon on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You gotta save the ribbon.
I don't think of you. I don't think of you as dainty.
What'd he get?
It's a football game. Electronic football game.
Oh, fantastic.
He's going to play that during this shift.
Yeah, that's great.
That I'm going to play right now, actually.
Time to focus on the show. That's fantastic.
Good. All right, so we'll
come back and do more.
Steve gave me that gift one year, by the way.
I did give that to you.
You did give me that.
We're going to hear from the Canterbury Carolers next.
Yeah, coming back with the Canterbury Carolers. Stand by for that. And also, at some point, I'm going to tell you why millennials won't take your call.
And there's pictures of all the Secret Santa's exchange is on the WGMRadio.com.
So you can check it out, which would be great. And John, how do you feel the show's going so far?
It's not bad. I don't think it's going to be as good as our New Year's Eve show at the Tivoli in Downers Grove, where you can go to Eventbrite to get tickets. That's
you should do that
thought.
Now. That's just your thought.
You know, I would go to Eventbrite now.
Right.
Tickets
are
to
leaving
get tickets.
Quickly.
Yes.
No, tickets could leave.
Because it's an old website, so the idea is you get in line. It's a queue.
Oh, it is.
It's like when
exactly.
you call the radio station for U2 tickets.
And remember, on New Year's Day, we hand out wristbands and make you stand outside.
Yes.
That's right.
That's eventbrite.com. Tivoli, you say?
Tivoli, Downers
what
Grove.
What time is that show?
That's at 7 o'clock for people
perfect.
Who can't stay up till midnight.
It's perfect.
It's ideal.
Santa Steve, what's going on?
Steve, coming up at 9 o'clock, we will have the latest on a lawsuit that's being filed later today in Chicago, charging the city of Chicago with discriminating against homeless people. That's at 9 o'clock from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
And not too bad on the area roadways. About a 30-minute route to outbound Edens to Lake Hook Road. The Kennedy 35 to the airport. 55 coming in from O'Hare from the Edens. 45 minutes. Inbound Ike is 55 from 53. Outbound 45. Inbound Stevenson from the Tri-State. 45 minutes. Very heavy into 355. It's an hour trip as you make your way inbound from there. The inbound Bryan about 25 from 95th. Still an accident in Darien, 87th and Lamont. And also Lakeshore Drive from Lawrence now down to Belmont. For personalized traffic on demand, get the traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mayor Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
The Bears could clinch a playoff berth on Sunday against the Packers.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Adam Hogue is our Bears insider. He's live from Hallis Hall.
We're playing Newsaroos with the Harlem Globetrotters.
And we'll set you up with free tickets and see him in action.
After 6.
Rokan with Anna DeVlantis. Chicago's conversation is on 720 WGN.
I just bought a house here in Huntley. It was rehab before I moved in. The attic stairs, they were original. The original stairs were in very bad shape, so we had to put in new stairs, completely relocate them, which meant removing the old stairs, drywall work, putting them in the new spot, obviously trim and drywall work there, framing up the new section there. It was quite an extensive project.
We are talking today with mega customer Al Schlick of Huntley.
This project involved a lot of drywall work. That creates a ton of dust. Well, one thing I want to get across to everybody, the cleanliness and the effort that they put into keeping my house in good order was surpassed only by the quality of the work they did. But this project was over. If you walked through my house, you wouldn't know anything had been done. The house is that clean. Really just an outstanding process.
One mega call does it all.
847-658-8989. 847-658-8989.
Megapros.com.
One mega call does it all.
So, you're never able to find just the right stocking stuffer for that impossible to buy for. Seems to already have everything person on your list, right? Well, never say never. Unless, of course, it's a never measure. It's the one simple-to-use tool for hanging those pesky artwork projects that easily centers, spaces, and level items so you can quickly hang pictures, sconces, mirrors, even complicated wall collages. It's an ideal gift for that handy, or perhaps not so handy, home decorator looking to reduce their stress level this holiday season. And it's a gift that will keep on giving all year long, helping to ensure peace and harmony whenever you're working on those home improvement projects together, regardless of your skill level. Never Measure is veteran-owned and made right here in the USA. It's available at Ace Hardware in Villa Park, Berlin's House of Tools, or online at nevermeasure.com. You know, once you see the many uses for this unique tool, you'll agree with Santa that no ho-ho-ho should be without one.
Are your tires ready for winter? Do you feel like your car is slipping and sliding in the rain or snow? Hurry into Central Chicago Tire in Elmwood Park, Illinois for a free tire evaluation. And while there, save up to $80 on select Hankook winter tires. Now through December 31st. Never halfway. Hankook Tire, where it's always performance season. Stop into Central Chicago Tire in Elmwood Park, Illinois, or call 708-456-3354 for all your tire needs.
The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Dental Institute, Family Medicine Clinic, Speech-Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you will receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care.
Hi, kids. It's 8:57 now. And John DeCoste, tell me about our friends here.
I was fortunate enough to see them live a couple of years ago, and then I got to work with them at Dean's Remote at Tree Time this year, which was great. But the Canterbury Carolers are phenomenal. And I was absolutely ecstatic that they were available. They will be performing on our New Year's Eve show.
What show?
That's the one on New Year's Eve at Downers Grove at the Tivoli.
Where's it, Tivoli?
Tivoli's in Downers Grove, okay. And you can get tickets at eventbrite.com to
what
see
time's
us.
That show?
At 7 o'clock. It's
and what
early.
Day is that show?
That's going to be a Monday night. It's going to be a Monday night.
New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. And they are going
Who's
to...
Who's
going to
be on the show?
Well, it's going to be you, me, Dean Richards, Rocky Laporte, Tim Banker.
Ross will be there.
Ross will be there.
Yeah.
And the Canterbury Carolers, who are absolutely
They're
going to
be
phenomenal.
There?
They're here. And they're here now.
New Come
Year's
on.
Eve? They Yes, New Year's Eve.
And what are they going to sing?
That I don't know.
Oh, I
the
do.
Wailea or something.
No, it's not Wailea. Wailea. Wasail. When you're ready, Canterbury Killers on 720 WGN.
Here we come a wassailing among the leaves so green. Here we come a wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year. We are not daily beggars that go from door to door, but we are neighbors' children whom you have seen before. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God send you a happy new year.
Yeah.
Nice, very nice.
Oh, they're so
very
good.
Very nice.
By the way,
Mecca's getting started.
They're just getting started. But you can also see them on the 18th downtown Hinsdale. And I'm sorry, the 13th in downtown Hinsdale. And then December 18th at the Christ Kindle Market in Naperville, Steve.
And they happen to be listeners of the show long yes. before your
Yes, you. They love the show. And very they nice. Love WGN. They're big fans. So
thank
we're
you guys.
So glad they came in.
Thank you guys for making the effort. We're going to have you sing some more in the next hour on CLTV.
Yes.
And 720 WGN, where we come back with the news next.
When we first installed it, we're like, we're going to put this one in the incubator. So that means we install a play and like maybe we'll practice it each week. But literally, we'll put that play in. And I was like, hey, if we get down there, we need to call this. This is going to work. Santa's sleigh. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
This weekend, when the Bears play the Packers, one lucky fan will be pulled from the stands with an opportunity to catch a touchdown. That's the way Nagy's doing the playbook, kids, as Adam Hogue joins us now.
As long as he declares himself eligible,
that's right.
No problem.
The fan must be declared eligible. Good morning, Adam Hogue.
Are you spelling pennies?
Okay, probably the wrong switch. Good morning, Adam Hogue.
Good morning. That sounds crazy, but you never know with Matt Nagy.
Yeah. See, I have a theory that he thinks he's playing a video game. Does he know that he's actually coaching in the NFL?
You know what? I don't think it matters because it's working.
How is he not coach of the year already?
I think he will be.
He's got to be.
Right?
Got to
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, other candidates, Bill O'Brien in Houston, they've turned their season around, but it's not. This is different. I think he will be coach of the year.
I think he should get it just for his press conference alone yesterday when he said, and the fans, they're so freaking awesome.
Like, yeah. You know, he's got an enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And if anybody came to you at, mid-July and said, tell you what, $1,000 since the Bears win 9 before Christmas.
Yeah.
You would have said, get out and stop drinking.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I had him actually going 10-6.
I had him going 10-6.
Show me the tape. I didn't think that they would be, you know, have a chance to clinch the division with 3 weeks to go. That's pretty impressive.
So they beat the Rams. They look great in beating the Rams. The Rams quarterback Jared Snowflake Goff is just now warming up back at home in his Snuggie. What's going to stop this team now? They don't win pretty, but they keep winning.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to keep harping on the quarterback, but that seems to be the obvious answer to that question right now. He needs to play a lot better than he did on Sunday night. I never would have thought that they would have won that game if you had told me beforehand that Mitch would have played that poorly. Probably his worst game as a Bear. Now, the good news is I think for the most part this season he has played better than that, and I do think rust is a fair factor in this game because it looked like he sort of defaulted back to some of the issues he had earlier in the year when he just wasn't comfortable in the system and the game was moving too quickly for him. So he's got three three games here now to get back in the rhythm, get back into a place where he was comfortable a few weeks ago. And if he play, he doesn't have to play like Patrick Mahomes for the Bears to win with this defense in the playoffs. He just needs to not throw three interceptions, and not make those crucial mistakes.
Adam, you know what got totally overlooked after that win Sunday night was the Bears' running game, which reappeared. Yeah.
Jordan Howard had 100-plus, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of the weird thing when I was in the locker room after the game was, you know, Mitch played so poorly and the offense was so disjointed for most of that game, and yet I was talking to the offensive linemen and, you know, they were so jacked up because they got the running game going. It's been such a struggle for this team to run the football all season, and in this game where it didn't look pretty, they got the ball moving on the ground and at a crucial time. I mean, because all of a sudden, this fancy, innovative head coach in Matt Nagy really in the fourth quarter just wanted to hand the ball off and run that clock out. And he got very conservative, which is fine. I thought that was the right move, and it was working for the most part. It was a very good sign, actually, to see the Bears run the football, especially in that cold weather, because they're going to have to do that here as we get later into December and into January.
Adam, there was so much made at the beginning of the season about how this would be a new-look Chicago Bears team. You know, the razzle-dazzle offense of Matt Nagy, we'd be playing a different offense, the likes of which we've never seen in Chicago. But as we look towards the end of the season, this is a very familiar, comfortable, and I say, you know, it feels right. This is a Chicago Bears team, an offense that struggles, but a defense that's dominant.
Yeah, it's a great point, Justin, because, yeah, this offense does look a lot different, but the team as a whole, this is what we're used to here in Chicago. It's a dominating defense that's getting the job done, and then the offense is still trying to figure things out. Now, I think a big difference and why Bears fans should feel optimistic is that you do have the offensive head coach. It's not Lovie Smith that's in there with his dominating defense. It's Matt Nagy, who's doing a tremendous job, even though this offense, I think we can all agree, has a ways to go here. They have pieces on offense. This isn't like a team from 10 years ago where they had no wide receivers, and you didn't really know what you're going to get out of the quarterback position. Okay, the quarterback's a little iffy, but there are weapons on offense, and you have this dominating defense. So if they figure it out on that side of the football, there's no question. I mean, you just saw they beat the Rams. So the question now is, can they go on the road in January and win a playoff game? I still think they need to figure out a little bit more on offense to do that. But they are a contender. This team has a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I think people need to realize that.
Kevin Ramon White Jr. Where is he?
That's a good question.
6'3", 216 pounds from West Virginia University, the future of the Bears. Where is he?
You know, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Well, it does because he was getting paid a lot of money.
I know.
So what happens to him?
I think because he's still on the roster, you know, the season just kind of plays out here. If they unfortunately suffer some major injuries and they need him, he'll play. Otherwise, you know, for the most part, he's not going to be a factor for this team, and then in the offseason, they'll let him go. I think that's probably what happens there with Kevin White.
He's kind of a mystery, right? I mean, there's no reason he shouldn't have succeeded, so I don't know. I just...
That one play this year, that Hail Mary, yeah, right at the end of the... Right where, yeah, he was a yard short.
And he was a yard short. So.
Yeah.
That's what
okay, so Adam, looking at the film, you know, you think about teams. They mentioned the Jacksonville Jaguars, a good example of what the Bears could be. The Jaguars last year went to the NFC Championship game and gave AFC Championship, gave the Patriots a run for their money on the road in New England. Is that a fair comparison to look at what Jacksonville did with a Blake Bortles last year and what the Bears are this year?
Well, I'm kind of glad you brought that up because I do think this team is built for, you know, a little bit more long-term success. The Jaguars have fallen completely off. But it is a good lesson that nothing is, you know, you can't just sit here and say, oh, well, you know, if it doesn't work out this year, they're going to be back next year. It's the NFL. Things change quickly, especially because of injuries.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Exactly. The Minnesota Vikings. All of a sudden this morning in Minnesota, they're talking about firing people, which I think would be a big mistake just because they're having one tough season. But, you know, these are the conversations that happen in the NFL. So In terms of the team as a whole, maybe there's some similarities. I think the Bears have a little bit more promise on offense than the Jaguars did last year. I think the defenses are pretty similar. That Jaguars defense last year was very dominant. But I think that this team can compete better in the playoffs with the playmakers they have on the offensive side of the football.
That's
but
saying a lot. The Jaguars went to the AFC Championship. That's saying a lot.
They did, but I remember just watching those games, and it was never that impressive, if you know what I mean.
They were over their skis, and you don't want the Bears to repeat that. Sandberg, last word.
The most important thing is last night on Monday Night Football, Scott Van Pelt talked to Matt Nagy, and he got down to the pressing issues of why he does the bald guy with a visor thing, because that's what Scott Van Pelt used to do. And he said it's just
It's not a good look.
He said it's just a look he's committed to. He says he gets a haircut at a one.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay, so look at you and Matt Nagy have the same thing.
Yeah,
but he also admitted that there's some superstition involved now.
Yeah.
Well, then he should keep doing it.
Yeah,
I take back the negative thing I said. You know, Adam, you're doing a great job. And I mean that with all sincerity. I mean, I really enjoy what you're doing, and thank you for doing it.
Thanks, Steve. It's going to be fun here. It's just fun that they're competitive. We got playoff games coming up and a chance to win the division on Sunday, which is incredible. So
incredible.
It's going to be a fun ride here.
And right now, the Chicago Blackhawks and the Chicago Bears have the same number of wins. That has to end tonight. But that's another topic. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. All right. See
cleanse
you
our palate with some carolers, would you?
How about Jingle Bells? Who wants to hear Jingle Bells?
Jingle Bells?
Can we do the one where the dogs bark?
No, because we have the Canterbury Carolers here.
Sorry.
The Canterbury Carolers on CLTV and 720 WGN. Whenever you're ready.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soonest Annie Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifted bank, and then we got upsot. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse
open sleigh. Come on, give my hand. You guys sound great.
Phenomenal.
Canterbury Carolers. Sound terrific. Thank you for being here. And thank you for making me look good on a day when Paul Rennie, the boss, is staring in the window trying to decide if I'm going to work for Nexstar.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I'll be everything that I want to be. I am confident in insecurity.
Patty Buskin's back on the radio tonight. Andre will be there, and all your little friends, too, tonight until the Blackhawks puck drop with Winnipeg. But that's not the only thing she's doing today. She's going to be hanging out with a bunch of people that want to be mayor. Now, you going to announce that you're a candidate today, or how's that going to work?
No, I can announce right now that that will not happen this evening.
All right, so where is this going on? Happening. Where is it happening?
This is going to be at the Copernicus Center at 5216 West Lawrence. And for anyone who grew up in Jefferson Park or knows the northwest side of Chicago, it was the Gateway Theater when I was a kid anyway. It's where I saw Star Wars.
Is that right? That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so what time do you do this?
The doors are going to open at 6:30, a little reception, and then the candidates forum starts at 7:30.
Oh, then I'm confused. I thought you were on the radio tonight. You're not on tonight.
After the Blackhawks.
After the Hawks.
Yes.
What time is it? All right, so that's tonight. All right, so in this forum are all the A-team players, or the lead candidates, they all going to be there?
We were only able to accommodate 10, unfortunately. We wish we could have all the candidates, but with 10, I'm already going to be herding cats. This is going to be rough.
There's no question. Will Tony Preckwinkle be there?
Yes. Vallis, Ford, Chico, McCarthy, Lightfoot, Mendoza, Wilson, Joyce, and Enya.
Why no Daly?
He's on vacation. Thank you for asking.
Well, good. I mean, that should be the only reason he doesn't show up. And do you have free rein on what you ask?
These are all curated questions that have been submitted by stakeholders and people that in the community. We've asked, you know, a lot of our friends on Facebook what they would want to hear from our candidates. So a lot of it is from FOP, from the Chicago Teachers Union, so the Fraternal Order of Police, the Chicago Teachers Union, CPS. We want to make sure that a lot of different organizations are heard from as well.
Here's what I want you to ask if you can get a question in that's not curated. On New Year's Eve 2019, what can you guarantee me is going to be better about the city than right now?
There you go. I like that. Hold on a second. Let me write that down.
New Year's Eve
2019. New Year's 2019. Okay, got it.
Thanks for appeasing me. So will we be able to see this or hear this anywhere?
Yes, on Facebook Live, it'll be available, and we'll be recording it for WGN Radio and using clips from it as well.
Yep. Cool. And then you're on the radio. I don't know if you know this. You're on the radio after the Hawks game.
I'll be on with Andrea after the Hawks game. Right now I'm watching a lot of Carol Marine and Mary Ahern. They're tough. They're really good
Yeah, really good. And so are you. So have fun tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patty. See you. That's Patty Vasquez. Dave, she's on after the game, not before.
No, why? That wouldn't make sense.
No, because they're here.
Who?
Patty and the mayoral people.
Oh, pal, I thought you meant the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks are in Winnipeg.
Yeah, exactly. What? It's 9:29. We'll come back and get your headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN. Dave, much like a millennial who doesn't want to take a phone call, we don't have enough time to do this justice, but there's a survey out on why millennials won't take our calls.
Really?
1,200 millennials between 22 and 37 were asked a series of questions about why they never used their phone for the original intent it was invented for.
You mean talking?
Yes. Here are the results, and I'll go from bottom to top. 37% said because they're working. They got work responsibilities. Okay. 41% said they feel funny about people hearing them talk on the phone.
Okay.
46% said they don't like having confrontations, and there may be something they disagree with on the phone.
Okay, yeah, but couldn't you have that in any conversation? Why ever talk to anyone again?
Exactly right. 49% say somebody might want a favor.
Again. Yeah.
55% say it may be about turning up at an event and you don't want to have to make the decision.
Okay, but why not just answer the phone and see what it's about?
64% said it could be a whiny or needy person.
Yeah.
And 75% say because phone calls take too much time.
Well, they're on to something there.
Yeah, but it's a pet peeve of mine.
This whole conversation could have been handled through a text.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. That's very
good
true.
Point, Joe.
That's very true.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We'll open another Christmas present in a second. First, more of the Canterbury Carolers. And we'll tell you where they're appearing, which is a big surprise because we haven't had a chance to mention it yet. Here are the Canterbury Carolers on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Deck the hall with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la. See the blazing Yule before us, fa la 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 la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure, fa la la la. While I tell of Yuletide treasure, fa la 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 la. Fast away the old year passes, fa la 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 la. Hail the new ye lads and lasses, fa la 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 la. Sing we joyous all together, fa la 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 la. Heedless of the wind and weather, fa la 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 la.
A round of applause for the Canterbury Carolers.
Some hot cocoa. I'll let you in my house after that.
Really,
girl.
Right? That's right. What it feels
That's
like.
What it feels like.
John, you've been slipping in plugs for the New Year's Eve show. Let's get blatant about one.
Okay, yeah, this well, and just so you should know, before the Canterbury Carolers do our New Year's Eve, they will be opening for Michael McDermott at the City Winery on December 23rd. But our big New Year's Eve show with Dean Richards, you, me, Rocky Laporte, Tim Banker,
Ross
Tivoli,
Cochran.
Ross
Why
Cochran.
Why do you keep forgetting Ross?
I never
What's
liked
your
Ross.
Deal?
I'll be honest with you. I've been talking to Amy the last 2 weeks, every single day, and she doesn't like Ross.
I love you, son. I can't speak for others.
Go see that. Michael McDermott's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So
City Winery, I tried to get the show, our show at City Winery, and they said, look, you can come drunk here, but you're not performing here.
Yeah, that's, I remember, because I made that phone call. That was good. But our blatant New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock. Downtown, Downers Grove at the Tivoli Theater. Go to eventbrite.com.
Let's give away some tickets.
Okay.
How many pair?
Two tickets.
200 tickets right now?
200
pair.
Tickets.
One pair of tickets. And I did find out if you search, if you just say Steve Cochran Show New Year's Eve Special, it brings up the Eventbrite link.
Okay. 312-981-7200. If you would like to go and can go, it's I got to write the night down. When is it?
It's New Year's Eve, Monday, 7 o'clock.
Yeah. So 312-981-7200, Kevin, Joe, wow, Super Joe, give away those tickets and let us know who won.
All right. And so where we left off was Super Joe just opened a football game.
Oh, yes.
Pete Zimmerman. So Super Joe, who do you have in the Secret Santa?
I had Mary Vandeveld.
Oh.
Here we go.
Yay. You're going to like his rapping. Look at that rapping.
Oh, yeah.
Mary Vandeveld. Joe, did you do that? That's so nice.
Before you not know how to rap, I asked my mom to rap it.
Mary, before that, or while you open that, I have not publicly congratulated you on your new grandbaby.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
I'm so excited.
She has the best middle name ever.
I have a new granddaughter.
Another little girl. What's her name?
Valerie Mary.
Oh. Very sweet.
Yes.
And
super cute.
Super Joe told us that he did not wrap this present.
Who wrapped it, Super Joe?
Yeah, that would be my mama.
Right, he tried. Nice job, mama. He said he tried to.
Thank you very much.
He tried to wrap it like a burrito at first, and she stopped him.
No. I tried. Oh, that was many years ago. Now I just go straight to the. Yeah.
Sorry. What is it?
It's Illini leggings.
Oh.
Fleece lined.
That's perfect end
for when they turn it around.
It's really good end. A little inappropriate.
Oh my gosh, Joe, I love
that. Well, I wouldn't. I didn't search leggings. I searched Illini running gear.
Ah, got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, you're buying leggings for the crew now, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
That is so much better than the Illini underpants I was going to buy Mary Vandeveld.
All right, Mary Vandeveld, who do you have?
I would have Dave Ennett.
Oh,
I know you didn't get me Illini leggings.
Oh, I was so looking forward to giving.
Hey, we were looking forward to you being at the lunch today, but we know that you decided not to come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just really, you want to go there.
Yeah. I wrapped it myself.
It's Dave's air.
I did hear Dave offered to pay. I did hear that, even though he's not going to be there.
Yeah, I took his card.
Because that's a card. Oh.
What is it?
He's not going to have a clue what this
Illini
is.
Illini leggings. It's Northwestern.
It is a cosmetic bag.
Perfect.
That's tremendous.
And I made it myself.
Oh my!
Are you kidding?
Be careful now. Wow. He's gonna spill.
Did you get
that? Is a great gift.
Did you get his shade right? Of makeup?
Let's see.
Yeah, how do you know what it is?
I tried to consult with Andrea Darlis about this.
There's something about an aqua velva makeup.
All right, enough of that. Get to the eyeliner.
Let's see. You got air spun loose face powder.
Ah,
powder.
Now you're getting there.
I don't think I have a loose face, but okay.
It's not loose face powder. It's loose face powder.
Oh, I got it.
Loose face Dave.
Come by loose face powder.
Detoxifying face mask.
Ooh. Yeah.
Deep cleansing.
And read what it has in it,
Seaweed. Yes. Hemp seed oil.
Seaweed.
Oh, yeah. It's healthy stuff.
Hemp.
Yeah, you're going to rub some weed on your face.
I couldn't find kale.
Nothing with alcohol.
Mask.
Nothing with alcohol in it.
A powder brush. This is really nice, Mary.
That's nice.
And the piece de resistance exfoliate facial wipes with green tea.
You can never have enough of those
extracts.
With a man with that wears makeup. Those are very popular.
I still have some on from last night, so this is good.
But yeah, has nothing to do with you doing TV. You just wear makeup.
This is true.
Whatever.
So Dave needs this bag because it is a washable bag, by the way, Dave.
Oh,
so you can get your makeup in there and you got the zipper.
That's incredible.
It's really cool.
Oh, every chapstick too.
Oh, thank you.
Hey Mary, for every man in our life that wears makeup, if we want a makeup bag, can we purchase them from you?
Yes, and anything. I'll take orders. They use them for shaving kits, too, as well.
Oh, okay.
I have Bears ones. They're available.
And I have see. Who else in the room wears makeup? I guess it'd just be your husband.
Yeah, my husband does wear makeup.
I have to share a makeup drawer with Andrea Darlis over Channel 9. And she takes up the entire drawer, so now I can put my bag in there with my stuff.
But finally, a man taking control of cosmetics.
She has an Illini bag that I gave her. So you might not want to put them together.
What a cool idea.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks, Mayor.
Well, then we have the last Secret Santa gift exchange today.
Yeah. So we'll come back with that and another song to wrap it up next on 720 WGN.
It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Rice and stuff and macaroni and cheese. And Santa put gifts under Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, Snow White so bright. In the fireplace is the Yule log. Beneath the mistletoe as we drink eggnog. The rhymes that you hear are the rhymes of Jack.
It's Andy Williams.
Right.
Doing Christmas in Hollis. It's 9:52, and just ahead of our final song selection from the Canterbury Carolers, we have a Christmas gift to exchange to do here.
So this just worked out this way, not by any planning. You guys were all in the room together, and you picked. So Steve has Justin, and Justin has Steve.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, how about
how did that?
That
happen? Oh, wow.
You guys were all in the room when we picked.
Yeah, we
there was
these
no...
These are...
Actually,
this
I wasn't.
This is wrapped by Miles. And he picked out the presents.
You go first.
I decided that he would have.
And by the way, when you busted me on the gift bag, you were 1,000% right. I bought it last night for $1.99.
He wrapped it this morning.
Yeah. Oh, look at this!
In studio.
Oh, okay. I've got a a Mark Wahlberg, The Rock DVD.
Yeah. Pain from what movie?
From Pain and Gain, a Michael Bay film.
Had you not seen Pain and Gain?
I have not seen Pain and Gain.
Fantastic.
Someone's watching that.
Because you love The Rock, don't you?
Oh, this is nice. Yes,
do you love The Rock or do you
love The Rock? You nailed it. You nailed it.
What else do you love?
And I also love karaoke. I've been trying to get the crew really into it. And,
this is your buddy came in this summer and he wanted to do karaoke.
That's right. We went out to karaoke and we learned the social etiquette that you cannot boo people during karaoke.
But I also felt like you felt like next time he's in, I'm going to need to have my karaoke game on.
So I've got two CDs here, Party Time Karaoke Hits. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Very thoughtful. Very thoughtful. Thank
I just
Miles
yeah,
is gonna
just,
love that actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, make sure that you have videotape of you practicing.
That's right. All right.
So Miles, I need to thank Miles for rapping.
Miles is all over this. Oh, you see, hear that? You hear that? That rap? That's good for radio. See?
The world. That's tremendous. The world's smallest voice changer with four distinct voices.
Yeah, here, I got scissors for you.
So we're riding home in the Tahoe.
This is, I feel bad for you. Riles and I feel bad that Rose got the megaphone and all the sound effects.
Yeah, I have nothing.
And you don't have any?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we thought we would buy this for you.
So battery that up.
More Zoo Crew style here on the Cochran Show.
Yeah. Because we are changing the name to the Morning Zoo tomorrow. Is there a battery? Is it on? Do we know?
I think so. You just click the...
Oh, boy.
Like,
now we got to teach him how to operate.
It's like he's never played with a toy before.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello?
That sounds great.
Hello? Hello?
Are you a dispatcher?
When do you think I'd have a stronger ad-lib other than hello, hello?
You could do 911 dispatcher with that. You could do bus driver. You could do L guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to rehearse this later. It'll be much more entertaining tomorrow.
How do I get it to do the other four?
I think there's a little.
Well, we can figure that out later. Let's open the second gift.
I like this. I like this. It's great radio.
Well, I'm just
Mary's
looking. I'm looking at
time.
The.
Let's go.
We've got
Mary's
a.
Okay,
we've got a clock. We've got a clock to watch here.
Oh, what time is it?
I think it works.
Is this annoying yet?
All right, thanks, man.
Let's open the other gift.
Someone take it away from him.
Also from Miles, this is something Miles got for you too.
This, my friends, is a sensitive, touching gift. It's the desktop edition of the golf game for the sports enthusiasts. It comes with its own flagstick putter.
Cool.
Oh, great. And he's going to be playing on the air, too, just like Gerardo Romano.
It's mini golf.
It's tiny, mini, tiny, mini, tiny
and
golf.
I think the thought was that this would keep you, since you have a desktop edition, it'll keep you here a little bit later so we can continue with the meetings.
Okay.
meeting.
Set contains one flag, two balls, and one putter, much like life.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Merry
Thank
Christmas, buddy.
We
Thank
should go
you.
To break and then come back and get a final song from the Canterbury.
We'll be back with the final song in just a second.
The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where you will find Steve in just a moment. Is it Steve? I think it's Steve. Is it Steve? Yeah, Steve's in there. Steve Bertrand. And Bill and Wendy are back after a lot of counseling.
Things are better now, Steve. Things are a lot better now.
Canterbury Carolers have one more.
They do. And as musical director of the show, I was given the opportunity to choose the last song. And I wanted to do something that it is at least a very big tradition in our family. What we listen to when we open up gifts. And this is our favorite Christmas song.
All right. And don't forget, they're going to be with us on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
At the Tivoli. Hope you can get tickets and do it at
Eventbrite.com.
What you said.
Yes.
7 o'clock New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve for people who can't stay awake until midnight. Again, this is your typical DeCause family tradition.
Our family DeCause. Yes.
Here we go. Canterbury Carolers.
Woke up after midnight. Both my arms and legs were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I got edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Yeah. Wow. How good is that?
They need an award.
I love it.
That is so tremendous.
Good. Oh, man. I see what you guys are going to do with these carolers at the New Year's.
And here's the thing. I don't have to get Dr. Most a present now.
Oh, that was so good.
That was great.
That is tremendous. You can see a gallery of gift giving. Great job, you guys. Thank you again. A gallery of gift giving of all the gifts and the spreading of joy, including my super annoying voice-changing tiny megaphone, all at WGNradio.com. How are Bill and Wendy?
Really good. Back in action.
Well rested, Steve.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm.
What did you do on your day?
Rested.
You rested?
Yeah, I rested.
What does that look like?
Basically, the same as when I'm not resting.
With all his toys.
I was wondering, did you take the day off because you guys needed to work on the wonderful life space?
Yes.
Was that the idea? The two of you were like in a room throwing a ball off the wall. Like, what if we did this?
Yes.
What if we did that?
A lot of ideas going back and forth. Yes.
All right. And you want to plug that?
No.
That's coming up Friday.
Friday on your show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Between 10 and noon.
Noon.
Right.
And they go to 12:02. There's one scene that's a little
unacceptable.
Long.
And just to give you a little background on this.
Bertrand's going to flip.
A little background on this. Steve, you can back me up on it. It is a highly choreographed, tension-filled, joyous occasion for all.
It's the most dangerous version of It's a Wonderful Life that you'll ever hear.
Right.
I'm sure the backstage posts will be the best.
It's going to be a lot of that.
Bill, I actually watched the movie last night again. Yeah. I didn't see a ferret. I was a ferret.
You're the Christmas ferret. You're Zachary the Christmas ferret.
Zachary
the Christmas ferret.
Well, that's sweet.
Be fun.
Once again, since Sandberg wasn't listening, you can see the photo gallery at WGNradio.com. Who's afraid of Sandberg?
Yay.
Everybody.
See you tomorrow.